Keep your bulletins that you've got open to page 6. There's a song at the bottom we're going to need towards the end of this sermon, and I don't want you having any excuse for not participating at that point. So keep your bulletins open, page 6. Dear friends, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, the stage has been set. The scene has been painted before our eyes, and what a scene it is. We left last week with this vision of a royal room with a throne in the middle of the room, and seated on the throne was God. God looking, as it says, like jasper and carnelian. I don't even know what that means, but it sounds fantastic. Lightning and thunder burst from outside of the throne, and 7 flaming torches burn in front of it. Surely God, the God of this vision, is more powerful than any ruler or god who threatens or tempts this world. That much is clear and is good news. Surrounding the throne are 4 living creatures, seeming to represent all that lives from the 4 corners of the earth, and they do the only thing that really can be done in the presence of such divine grandeur. They sing. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And at the song, the 24 elders surrounding the throne fall on bended knees and cast down their crowns, submitting their honor and glory to the one who created and keeps all things. Holy, 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 all the saints adore thee, casting down their golden crowns around the glassy sea. As the echoes of these 28 voices fade, all eyes are on the throne, waiting in anticipation for what will come next. The stage is set. And then in this vision, John sees in the right hand of the one seated on the throne a scroll. A scroll in God's own hand. A scroll sealed 7 times with God's own seal. A scroll with a divine decree written on it. A scroll we'd sure love to read. Because sometimes we want nothing more than to hear a word from God. That's certainly true of the 7 churches John is writing to, the churches he's recounting this vision to. He writes to 7 churches threatened by the powerful Roman culture and government. Some of those churches have remained patient in their suffering, but have lost any sense of love. Some are afraid of this Roman affliction that is to come. Some have just given in and adapted to the culture. Some have lost all sense of meaning, all color in life. All of them desperately want to hear a word from God. A word that says God is still up to something. A word that says God is still here. A word that says what God has in mind, what God's will is, what God wants of them and for them. A divine word to counter the shouting of the world. A divine word to counter the deafening silence from the deep. Sounds good to me. We all want a word from God, right? There's just so much mystery in this world. Mystery about life and death and meaning and faith and all the rest. And we like to say the mystery is what makes it all beautiful, but come on, let's be honest. It drives us nuts. Mystery is all well and good, but it sure would be nice to know if this is the right career for me, if this relationship has a future, if my deepest fears are legitimate or ridiculous, if you really can eat just 1 potato chip. If this world is really falling apart, as it seems sometimes, mystery is all well and good, but it sure would be nice to know what's on God's mind. And there it is, a scroll in God's hands with words on it, a scroll sealed 7 times, the seals revealing the divine nature of the decree, but also, well, you know, sealing it, because that's what seals do. Think of those old style seals where candle wax would be dripped onto the scroll and then the ring of the king or priest would be pressed into the wax. The seal lets you know that the scroll is legitimate, but it also prevents you from opening it because you'd better have the right credentials to break those seals. And that becomes the chief problem in this story. This scroll, this word, it's so tantalizingly close, and yet who could open it? To use the language of the vision, who is worthy to break the seal? Who is capable of delivering God's word, God's decree? Who could show us the will of God? Within the vision, a search committee is begun, a call committee, an interview team of sorts. And after looking high and low, near and far, it appears none can be found. No one capable of bringing this word from God. And John weeps at the news. The mystery, it seems, will remain a mystery. We are forever stuck not knowing the will of God, for no one is worthy to unseal it. But just then, one of the 24 elders comforts John with an encouraging update of sorts, a source of hope. And hope, remember, hope is the point, the rudder of Revelation. The elder says to John, "How about the lion? What about the Lion of Judah?" "Of course, the Lion of Judah, the root of David, the one promised long ago in the prophets, in Isaiah and Jeremiah, to take up the throne in Jerusalem, the one promised to be God's voice, God's presence. There is one worthy. There is one whom God has deemed able to show us God's will, to show us what's on God's mind. There is one. The lion. And a lion is sure what we need right now, right? A lion with the strength and honor and status and glory. A lion who can break open those seals. A worthy lion of strength. That's what we need to unlock the mystery." John hears about a lion. But then he turns around and he sees something else. My dad has a way of ruining movies at just the right moment, which is sort of what is happening in this vision to John. Watching the first Star Wars in the theater with my mom many years ago, my dad leaned over during this dramatic scene when spaceships are flying at each other and Luke is trying to destroy the Death Star and lasers are shooting everywhere, pew, pew, pew. And my dad leans over to my mom and says, "You know, there's no sound in space." Years later, watching The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, my dad leans over during this dramatic moment in the middle of the movie when Aslan, the great lion, is standing majestically on this rock about to save everyone. And my dad leans over and whispers, "I thought Jesus was a lamb." John hears that the Lion of Judah has come to conquer so that he might open up the scroll, reveal the mystery, but then he turns around and sees not a lion, but a lamb. A slaughtered lamb, which, spoiler alert, is Jesus. With Jesus, this one promised to open up the divine mystery, with Jesus we wait for a lion, but we get a slaughtered lamb. I suppose it shouldn't surprise us. Jesus didn't act very lion-like in life, did he? The Son of God who comes in a barn, prefers the company of impoverished prostitutes to prosperous princes, and whose ultimate act is to die a condemned criminal, doesn't make you think of a lion. Sometimes I kind of wish we got a lion, though, you know? Sometimes I kind of wish the one who was sent here to reveal God, to be God among us, sometimes I wish that one was strong like a lion. Sometimes I kind of wish we got a lion for all that. One who could conquer and vanquish and set up a throne. Not in some vision, but here on earth, in Washington and Moscow and Pyongyang and Charlottesville. One who would shake things up, preferably with my precise mix of liberal and conservative politics, but you know, I'm flexible. But we don't get a lion. We get a lamb. A lamb who was slain, whose blood set us free to be people of God. A lamb who came not only with a divine message, but to be that message, to be God in flesh among us. A lamb who knows us and knows our weaknesses and our dreams and our longings and our distaste for mystery. A lamb who bears this world with us, who bears the questions and the doubt and the whole mess of life we call the human condition. A lamb who is crushed under it all, slaughtered by it all, and in the slaughtering somehow bears it all for us. Bridges the gap between us and God. We get a lamb. They call this book Revelation because the point of it is not to obscure the truth about God in some secret code only a few can understand, though it does feel that way sometimes. No, they call it Revelation because the point of it is to reveal God, reveal a truth which might give us hope and faith. It's a revelation. But we never really get to see the divine decree written on that scroll. Despite our wishes, the mystery is never fully revealed. Instead, what gives us hope is knowing that that word from God rests with the Lamb. What God's will is for us, what rests on God's heart, what's on God's mind in crazy times like these, we don't really know. And that makes us anxious. But we do know that the mystery rests with one who suffered and died that we might be people of God. And that gives us hope. The mystery of God rests with Jesus. And with that realization, all you can do really is sing. The four living creatures and the 24 elders who sang to God now turn and sing to the Lamb instead. You are worthy to take up this scroll. And then, knowing the mystery rests in the arms of one who loves them, angels, thousands of thousands and myriads, angels join in the song. Worthy is Christ, the Lamb who was slain, whose blood set us free to be people of God. And John turns and sees every creature in heaven and on earth, every creature ever set free by this Lamb and now filled with hope, knowing that even as it remains a mystery, the heart of God rests with the Lamb. Every creature, that means you. Every creature joins together in song. Worthy is Christ, the Lamb who was slain, whose blood set us free to be people of God. Power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and blessing and glory are His. What else is there to do? What else is there to do? When you discover that God's heart, God's will for you, is held by God's love for you. Amen.